Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
They're at the Chateau, a.k.a. the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 99 years of serving the Valley, and they take good care of you. They don't mess around when it comes to, like, the big negotiation thing. No. They get you the best price. They make sure you know everything up front. They back it up with an awesome service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now, Sarah Bartlett, whom I think everyone knows, I have great respect for. I mean, ultra-talented, very, very smart. And
thank you.
She did something. It's true. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, really. I mean, the respect I have for you is off the charts. She did something during the news, which I don't hear a lot of people do. And it's just a small thing. But she was talking about the Quinnipiac poll for governor. She's one of the few people I know that pronounces Quinnipiac correctly.
Hey,
I'm seriously. I hear it. But believe me, in our business, pronunciation's important. All right. In fact, somebody just sent me a script for something I have to do in Texas, and I'm checking out pronunciations on a couple of things that I'm not quite familiar with, towns in Texas and how they're pronounced and so forth. I hear Quinnipiac butchered, and I grew up in Connecticut, so I know that's where Quinnipiac is. It's in Connecticut. And I've heard it butchered by so many people in this state because this poll is often quoted. And you're one of the few people I've heard that actually does, it rolls off and actually says it right.
Well, thank you. So, I'm glad I do. I'm glad you caught that.
No, it's...
Well, it's important. It's important for the pronunciation to be right.
Well, but it is. And it's something that should not be taken lightly. And that's why Sarah's really good at what she does. She doesn't take anything lightly. I mean... You know, even criticism of Joe Flacco does not take anything lightly when it comes to...
Can't blame me.
Okay. No, I can't blame you on that one. Can't blame you. Although I get Kevin's go, you know, Johnny Manziel might be better than Ben Roethlisberger.
He'd go up in arms.
He does, believe me, he does. And I only say it for effect just to see how he'll react. Oh, well, that's the evil side coming out. We're talking earlier about the Hall of Fame, and this is because Mike Schmidt's the one that brought it up, and he said that Jimmy Rollins is Hall of Fame consideration, and that means worthy enough to have the name put on the table, and let's discuss the name. And he is absolutely right about that. It's, you know, now you may reject it. Say, well, I've thought about it. He's really good. But no, I don't think he was quite good enough to cross the line and get into the Hall of Fame. All right. Or you may say, you know what? I really like how he played, the whole deal, MVP, All-Star. All right. One of the best of his generation, blah, 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 blah. I think he should be in. So all he's saying is that we should have that discussion. And that's what we're doing. We're having that discussion. And it's not just about him. It's about anybody. At 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Is there somebody that you watch play now that you say to yourself, you know what, I think that guy is, to me, has a Hall of Fame look to him? And we could talk about it. Because I think there's certain guys that do fall into that category. I mentioned yesterday, for example, the Colorado Rockies, Todd Helton, for example, just retired. I think to me, Todd Helton was a Hall of Fame player. I'd vote for him. But, Now, you may not know as much about him, which when Dick from Milton called yesterday, made a really good point. You know, he says, hey, look, you play for the Seattle Mariners, the Colorado Rockies. How much do you know? But you know what? We actually know more now as fans than we did 25 years ago when they were voting in players. Because now we do, even though we do get to see everybody. If, when I sit there and I talk about Todd Helton, I watched him play a lot with the Colorado Rockies. A guy that I think is on the path, if he keeps going, will also get serious consideration down the road, is a guy named Troy Tulowitzki. Right? Seattle Mariners. We can talk about Felix Hernandez. We see more of everything today than we have in our entire lives. Now, I don't really want to use the all-star voting as a gauge for all this, but I'll give you an example. I mean, Josh Donaldson of the Oakland A's right now is the leader at third base. Now, that's because a lot of people have now seen Josh Donaldson play. And we do have more options of seeing guys play. I mean, You now have a chance, if you want, to watch every Philadelphia Phillies game on TV. Which means you're not only watching every Phillies game, but you're also watching six games a year with the Diamondbacks, six games a year with the Dodgers, 18, 19 games a year with the Mets, Nationals, Marlins, and Braves. You see some American League teams from time to time. So you have a better feel and a better read as a fan today than ever before. And so when Dick was talking about that, I think Dick's argument yesterday when he called the show was a very good one, but it was also a better argument 30 years ago than today. Because now, between ESPN, which shows games, Fox Sports 1 showing games, if you have CSN, you're seeing the Phillies games. If you have Root Sports, you're seeing the Pirates games. If you have MLB Network, you're seeing a wide range. And it's not always just the Yankees and the Red Sox on. Last night, I had the option of watching the Padres-Pirates. This is what I had the option of. Not everybody has the same options. Different cable or dish means different options. My options last night were Pirates-Padres, Phillies-Nationals, Yankees and A's. I saw the Cardinals and the Royals. See, those were the four options I had last night. Now, if I went back 20 years ago, I wouldn't have had four options on a Tuesday night in early June to see. So I will get a chance to see, for example, I've seen the Angels play how many times this year? I've seen the Dodgers play how many times this year? I've seen now the Padres the last couple of nights. You know, so I know more about the Padres, although I know a lot about them to begin with. A friend of mine's part owner. But you have, you know, the Texas Rangers. We know more about them than ever. Even the Houston Astros. I mean, with Singleton signing his 5-year contract, we know more and have more at our disposal of evaluating players, talent, pitchers in the field, all around players, than ever before. I can't tell you how many times I've seen the Cincinnati Reds play this year. I've seen the Miami Marlins, a team that I normally would not watch. I've seen the Miami Marlins play, I don't know, probably already 7 or 8 times this year. 20, 30 years ago, obviously the Marlins weren't in existence then, but say they were and were in that particular time. I might see the Marlins, I don't know, maybe once, maybe. And plus, think of all the highlight packages that you watch, whether it's on Fox Sports or on MLB or on ESPN, that are part of their SportsCenter style updates. We actually now see more than ever before. That's why, as an example, you don't see the influx of talent heading to New York and that pipeline all the time. You don't see that. Yeah, they signed, obviously, Brian McCann. They signed Jacoby Ellsbury. And this, and Tanaka, whom they outbid everybody for, looks like he is going to be, he has a chance to be really good for a long time. That's a, he is a heck of a pitcher. But isn't it interesting that the two primary Yankee Hall of Famers that you've looked at in the last 15 years, Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter, you know what they have in common? They're homegrown guys. They weren't free agents. They came up through the Yankee system. They're homegrown. But we're not just seeing a steady diet of Red Sox Yankees anymore, which is, I mean, and that's good for the game. I mean, I think we know a lot about the Nationals. We know a lot about the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles, you know, Buck Showalter's done a remarkable job with them. And I like watching how J.J. Hardy plays short. I like the way Adam Jones plays the game. When Manny Machado's healthy, he's really a special guy to watch. Chris Davis, we know more about him. And the list goes on and on. We have more access of seeing for ourselves today. Okay, I mean, how often would you watch the Oakland A's if it wasn't postseason? Yet the A's game with the Yankees was on MLB last night. San Francisco Giants. So one thing that cable has done, and this has been important, I think the cable has helped, I think, believe it or not, I think the NHL more than any sport out there. I think the NBA was the one that really understood it earliest, and it's really helped the NBA out. But the NHL's taken great advantage by getting away from ESPN, which some thought was unwise, including me, getting their own network, which then it turned out NBC decided to fully take over and then really invest in it, and having the Olympics on it really helped as well. And they've been helped exponentially by it. So we see there isn't really a game that we don't see now. College football, across the board, we see game. We can see almost any game we want. Almost any game we want, we can see. I mean, you know, for Penn State, I'm trying to think. I think in my tenure as the play-by-play guy, and I'm going into my 15th season, I think there's only been one game I've done that wasn't on TV live. One? But you can see everybody. Now at the Big Ten Network, you can see everybody. SEC is starting up its own network. They announced today, for example, that Tim Brando, whom we're trying to get on the show here within the next couple weeks, trying to get Tim Brando back on the show again. Tim Brando just signed a new deal to be with the SEC network. Great landing spot for him. Happy for him. Because Tim's a good guy. But we can see everything. I mean, you've seen Iowa play football. Because Iowa, you know, you can get it. I mean, every Iowa game is on TV. We can see it. If you get BTN or, you know, whatever, you can see it. You may not want to see it, but you have the option of seeing it. And that's what we have now in baseball. All these games are on TV across the board where we have better act. So when I sit there and I talk about a Jimmy Rollins or a Chase Utley, it's not just guesswork. I've got a pretty good sample size of watching them play, just like you do. And you may have a different opinion than I do. But at least we have a large sample size to choose from. We have a better feel on the game than ever. And when I mentioned it's not just the pipeline to New York anymore, I mean, look at, for example, like Seattle. They signed Robinson Cano, $240 million for 10 years. Seattle signed him away from New York. So times have changed in what we have access to. That's why I've talked repeatedly. I drove by Beaver Stadium today, and they were testing out the new HD boards, and I was on Park Avenue. And so I glanced over it, and traffic had stopped, and I glanced over it, and they were testing out the new HD board in the south end zone. So I looked to my right. You can't believe how clear that is. Unbelievable. And that's what stadiums have to do now, because I just talked about every game being on TV. They still have to do something to keep you going to the stadium. Any stadium, anywhere, anytime. I don't care if it's Citizens Bank Park or Beaver Stadium. Your presence is still critical, because, look, we can't have it be a studio game. The ambiance of a stadium with the sound coming through TV makes a huge difference. That means crowds. All right, let's take a break. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, and another song where Kevin dances to it in the studio, and it just... Oh, boy.
I can't think of a song he doesn't groove to, really.
Well, the only one he's really in rhythm with is the theme to Chariots of Fire. They're working, going slowly. He hates me, doesn't he?
No.
Oh, well. We are gearing up, by the way, for minor league baseball season in our area. The Williamsport Crosscutters are going to open up a week from Friday. Now, the draft, the round one, is tomorrow. Round one is tomorrow. Rounds 2 through 10 are Friday. The rest of the draft will be Saturday. And then teams will start making their way here. There's a general rule of thumb, and I've talked about this before, but I'll mention it again. That take whether it's the Crosscutters with the Phillies or the Spikes with the Cardinals, here's the general rule of thumb. If a player is in college and is drafted and decides to sign, they will go to the New York Penn League. They'll play either at Williamsport or they'll play at State College. If it's a high school player that decides to sign, they will probably be assigned to an affiliate in Florida and not be in the New York Penn League. The mixed bag where you're not sure are guys that are junior college players, and if they're drafted, then it's a real catch-as-catch-can as to whether they go to Williamsport State College or if they go to the level just below, like, for example, for State College, that is Johnson City in Tennessee. So that's the general, not perfect, but rule of thumb. I'll give you a good example. 2006, the Cardinals draft Alan Craig. 8th round, Cal Berkeley. He comes to State College. They also drafted John Jay right out of high school, 18 years of age. He went to Florida. In fact, Jay never came to State College. And now they're both, of course, with the Cardinals. Jay starts in center field, and Craig starts at right field and sometimes at first base. But so that's the general rule of thumb. So the Major League Baseball draft is tomorrow. Round one. Rounds 2 through 10 will be Friday. Rest of the draft up through round 40. Rounds 11 through 40 will be on Saturday. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Pete Jensen from NHL.com with us tomorrow to talk about the Stanley Cup Final. Game 1's tonight between the Rangers and the LA Kings at Staples Center in Los Angeles. Pete Jensen will be on to talk about that. On Friday, Dick Girardi on the Belmont Stakes. He's only hit the exacta in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Both. The exacta. And also on Friday, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. 800-795-9565 is our number. Join in. Talk to us in the final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday. As we roll through together. 800-795-9565. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we've talked about the Hall of Fame today, and our thanks to Walt Moody of the Saturday Elite Times for being on the show as well to talk about a variety of things. Tomorrow, a little bit on the Stanley Cup playoff, the final. Kings and Rangers coming up tonight. We'll talk with Pete Jensen, NHL.com, tomorrow. Coming up on Friday, Dick Girardi on the Belmont Stakes as California Chrome goes for the Triple Crown. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. I'm sure, Sarah, you'll be locked in on the California Chrome story.
Oh, of course. It's always exciting.
This is exciting because I think it was the 13th time since affirmed. The problem is it's just so unpredictable. It's unpredictable. And the reason being is nobody runs a mile and a half. Nobody does that. I mean, no horse goes out, hey, let's run the race at the mile and a half. Nobody runs a mile
and
a half.
It's so long. It's so long, and you just don't know.
Not one horse has done it. So we'll have to see. The second, third, fourth, and fifth place finishers in the Kentucky Derby all skipped the Preakness, but have entered this race, including Wicked Strong, which to me is the primary threat to California Chrome. California Chrome, by the way, will start from the number two post position. Dick will talk about this with us when he is on the show. And Dick has hit the exacta, by the way, in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Chrome's a 3-5 favorite, draws the number two post, and that'll be the big story of the week. The track is literally a mile and a half, and so the start-finish line is the same. So where they start from is where they finish. Expect a huge crowd on hand. The horse, to its credit, has a great following. It really does. They say it takes about 11 days for a horse to recover after running a race. And obviously you have a story here where it's been 3 weeks since the horse raced, but he'll be the only horse in the field that has tried to race three times in 5 weeks. I mean, he'll be the only one. But you know the money is going to be heavy on him. And they say it's 3-5 at this moment. So there, you look at the post position, he got two. It's fine. It's not like being in the two spot, for example, in a 20-horse field. That's not really the deal. And this is going to be a pretty sizable field, as a matter of fact. You have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, let's see. You have 11 horses in this field. So with the 11 horses, this is what you have. Medal count right now is 20-1. California Chrome will be in the two hole, and that horse is 3-5. Matterhorn, 30-1. That's a Ty Pletcher horse. Hasn't run in anything else. Commanding Curve, 15-1. Okay, Ride on Curling. Now, Ride on Curling, actually, I should point, is actually, this will be the third go around with Ride on Curling. Ride on Curling had a pretty good giddy up at the end of the Preakness. And there's going to be a change. Johnny V is going to ride him, and that's big. Johnny Velasquez. So Johnny V is going to ride him. He's 12-1 right now. But Tuzak, with Mike Smith aboard, 30-1. Samrat is 20-1. Commissioner, another Todd Pletcher horse, 20-1. Wicked Strong, 6-1. And I say that's the primary threat. General A-Rod is 20-1. And Tonalist is 8-1 with Joel Rosario on board. So that's, it's an 11-horse field. Pretty good. I mean, that's an extensive field for a Belmont Stakes. So that's where, you know, and again, it's a mile and a half. So nobody knows. It's what makes it such a great mystery. And this race is always going to be a mystery. You know, and I'll give you a good example of that. Now, we know Affirm was the last, and he edged out Aladar at the end to win. Seattle Sloop pretty much kind of won every race and did it with relative ease. The Secretariat set records everywhere. Secretariat set the record that still stands at the Kentucky Derby, still stands at the Belfont because of a timing error. We all know he set the record at the Preakness as well, but there was a timing error. They kind of fouled that one up. All right, but Secretariat was also an off-the-pace horse that down the stretch just blew you away. But in the Belmont, the second that horse left the gate with Ronnie Turcon on board, it took off. And the movie is accurate if you watch the movie, because everybody felt the same way. Why is he out front? I mean, well, the reason he was out front is Ron Turcott knew. He had the feel. Like, this baby wants to run. All right? I mean, he wants to run. But that wasn't his style. And, of course, Secretary had never run a mile and a half before. Never. Okay? Never run a mile and a half before. And when it came time for... I mean, everyone just thought he'd lay back and make his move. He went right to the front. And it's really one of the great calls of all time when you listen to it. Because it really captured... Because remember, when Secretary won, there had not been a Triple Crown winner since Citation in 48, 25 years. And so it really kind of took everybody aback as to how he ran the race. Well, that's what I'm pointing out. The mile and a half, you just don't know. And Secretary ended up running with 224, I believe, which is, I mean, there isn't even another course that's even come close to that number. And I think it was Chick Anderson, I think, was the one that made the call on Secretary. And it was just a remarkable, I mean, the way he just did a number on everybody. And I mean, even the way it's called, it just tells you how shocked even they are as to how he runs. Now, this is the call, Belmont Park, 1973. All right.
Then it's twice the pitch, and the turner is Travis Miles as they go by the turn. Those two together, Sham on the outside. Sham getting ahead in front as they move around the turn with Secretary at second. Then there's a large gap. Make up 8 lengths back to My Gallant in third and Vice of Prince fourth. And Travis Miles is still the trailer. They're on the back stretch. It's almost a match race now. Secretariat's on the inside, by a head. Sham is on the outside. They've opened 10 lengths on My Gallant, who is third by a head, with Vice of Prince fourth. Then it's another 8 lengths back to Private Smiles, who is sailing the field. They continue down the backstretch, and that Secretariat now taking the lead. He's got it by about a length and a half. Still Sham, 10 lengths back, My Gallant, Vice of Prince. They're moving on the turn now. For the turn at Secretariat, it looks like he's opening. The lead is increasing. They get 3, 3.5. He's moving into the turn. Secretariat holding on to a large lead. Sham is second, and then it's a long way back to My Gallant and Vice of Prince. They're on the turn. Secretariat is blazing along. The first 3/4 of a mile in 109 4/5. Secretariat is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn. Sham is dropping back. It looks like they'll catch him today as My Gallant and Vice of Prince are both coming up to him now. But Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost the 16th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretariat is in a position that seems impossible to catch. He's into the stretch. Secretariat leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Vice of Prince is taken second. And My Gallant is moved down to third. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths in front. It's going to be Vice of Prince second. My Gallant.
It was 31 lengths between Secretariat and Twice a Prince. 31.
It kind of gives you chills.
When he says Secretariat is running like a tremendous machine, Secretariat by 12, Secretariat by 14. How about that? Yeah, unbelievable. And that memorable shot on Sports Illustrated of Ron Turcotte crossing the finish line, looking back, and there's nothing back there. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin Herb, White Jacket.
I'm only playing
Dance
Kevin's
floor.
Yeah, Kevin's greatest hits.
Yeah. Left hand in the air. Back and forth. All right. You like that Secretariat thing? I mean, it really is. I mean, you're talking 41 years ago? 41 years? I mean, this is the fun part here.
Secretariat is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn. Sham is dropping back. It looks like they'll catch him today as My Gallant and Vice of Prince are both coming up to him now. But Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost a 16th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretariat is in a position that seems impossible to catch. He's into the stretch. Secretariat leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Price of Prince is taken second, and My Gallant is moved back to third. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths in front.
I mean, even they're shocked. I mean, it really is a great call by Chick Anderson. I mean, it really was. That was 41 years ago.
Yeah, I doubt he ever thought that that's what he would be saying, because you have no idea. And, you know, as an announcer, you probably know when things are are so amazing to you. It kind of comes out.
It does. But I've talked about this before, and I know I've talked about this with my class. Okay, and don't script. If you know you're about to do something, don't script it. If you think there's a potential at history. And as you know, Sarah, I've been extremely fortunate in my career. I've called history. I mean, I've called 323. I've called 324. I called 400. I called 409. You know, I've called upsets. I've called championships. I mean, I've been lucky as to what the body of game I've had in front of me in my career. Lucky beyond words. Don't ever script it. Never. Let the emotion of the moment dictate what you say. And that's what he did. I mean, you could tell. It's so incredible. He's flabbergasted. No horse. You know what the record was before Secretary at the mile and a half? Was 228. He ran 224. I mean, like, usually, like, okay, I beat the record. I ran it in the horse ran it in 227.6. Oh, wow. Hey, they shaved 0.4 seconds off. He ran 224. He shaved 4 seconds off the record. You don't do that. I mean, shocked. And it comes through and it makes it for a better call. And that's why I never have, like people said to me, when did you come up with the 2K for LJ thing? The second he crossed the goal line. I don't know why I said it. I have no idea. We just come up Y2K, 2000. So I guess that's probably entered into it. But the second he crossed the goal line, I hesitated for a second and I said it.
It's something that couldn't be pre-planned.
Yeah, you can't. No, you can't do it. You can't pre-plan it. To me, if you're pre-planned it, it comes out canned. How about that? All right? If you say it, if you think about it ahead of time, because, and I'll give you an example with him. Okay, with him as an example, all right, he needed 264 yards to get there. Well, you don't wake up that morning on a cold day in State College before they're about to play Michigan State and go, you know what? I think he's going to get 279 yards in the first half, and he's going to go over 2,000 yards. I mean, do you wake up and think that? Considering that, he had, 327 against, before that season began, the most yardage ever gained at a Penn State football game by a running back was 258 yards by Kurt Warner against Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. That's the most ever. Now, Larry Johnson went past that 4 different times in the stretch run. But you don't wake up and say, you know what, I think he's going to get 279 yards in the first half. Because, you know, he didn't gain a yard in the second half. So, you know what, John, I wonder what I'll say when he gets there. 200, he needs 264 to get there. I mean, like, I'm going to sit there and go, really? So, it just comes out. Now, if you botch it, you botch it. If the emotion of the moment, you say it right, people remember it.
Right. Yeah, I get sucked into those YouTube clips of just the best calls ever.
Yeah, exactly. And, you grew up, with the Chuck Thompsons, the Bill O'Donnells in Baltimore, who were brilliant words. John Miller, okay? John Miller on Orioles baseball, the brilliant calls that he had. Harry Callis, the brilliant calls on all those Philly games. Bob Prince's memorable calls on a Pirate game. Mel Allen. We had just had Kurt Smith on the show who wrote the book Voices of the Game. If you just go in and you have enough experience and you let the moment, you'll be able to capture it. I'll tell you right now, Chick Anderson captured it that day, didn't he? Like you said, Sarah, gives you chills.
Absolutely.
All right, look forward to tomorrow. Pete Jensen, NHL.com. We're going to talk about the Stanley Cup Final, Kings and Rangers. Game one, by the way, tonight, Staples Center. They'll drop the puck just after 8. Friday, Dick Girardi on the Belmont Stakes, along with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Sarah and I hope you have a great night tonight. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. On the Mark tomorrow morning. And then the Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5, all here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.